Once upon a time, there was a beautiful young woman named Cinderella. She lived in a castle with her father, and was constantly tormented by her wicked stepmother and two stepsisters, who were both so cursed with hideousness that they had become spiteful and mean. One day, Cinderella, tired of her stepmother's cruel ways, complained to her governess, an ambitious and cunning woman who had cared for Cinderella since her birth. Between them, the two concocted a plan to rid themselves of this evil stepmother, once and for all. So, Cinderella lured her to a chamber in a remote corner of the castle, under the pretense of showing her some fine dresses she had found in an old wooden chest. The stepmother swept into the room, haughty and ill-tempered as usual, and bent to peer inside the chest. Cinderella glanced back at her governess, suddenly unsure of herself. The governess nodded, a small smile on her wrinkled face.
"Do it," she whispered.
So Cinderella slammed the heavy oak lid of the chest down on her stepmother's head. Blood spattered across Cinderella's perfect face as the older woman collapsed forward, legs kicking spasmodically. Cinderella brought the lid crashing down again, this time catching her stepmother across the back of the neck. There was a loud, sickening snap, and the woman flopped to the ground, limp and lifeless as a rag doll. Fearsome Fairy Tales, a bite-sized fright. This series contains disturbing content. Listener discretion is advised. The wicked stepmother was dead, but before she was even cold in the ground, the conniving governess married Cinderella's grieving father. She banished Cinderella to the kitchens as punishment for her wicked crime, and the girl's life soon became even more miserable than it had been before. But all was not lost. Cinderella was granted a wish by a fairy and chose to attend a magnificent feast, disguising herself in all the trappings of royalty. Her beauty and grace quickly attracted the attention of a dashing young prince, but Cinderella fled the festivities before her lowly, true identity could be discovered. In her haste, she left behind a clue, a single squirrel fur slipper. Heartbroken, the prince searched far and wide for this mystery woman who had so entranced him. Armed with the slipper, he roamed the land asking pretty maidens to try it on to see if the shoe would fit. When Cinderella's spiteful stepsisters heard of the handsome prince's quest, they became obsessed with ensnaring him for their own. They locked Cinderella in the kitchens, then slathered themselves in expensive perfumes and makeup, put on the finest dresses they could find, and awaited the prince's arrival. Arrive he did, and though he was initially repulsed by the stepsisters' grotesque appearances, he was honor-bound to let all women try on the slipper. The first stepsister seized the shoe and tried to cram her great horny foot into it. She grunted and strained and cursed and sweated, but the slipper would not fit. In desperation, she grabbed the prince's dagger from his belt and with one swift stroke sliced off her toes. Blood fountained across the richly carpeted floor as she tried to wedge her now toeless foot into the dainty fur shoe, but it was no use. Impatient, the second stepsister grabbed the slipper, which was now a sodden, bloody mess, and gently eased it onto her foot. The damn thing was too small. No matter how much she tugged at it, the material would not stretch sufficiently. So she snatched the dagger from her sister and cut off her own heel, hacking through flesh and gristle and bone with maniacal determination. She smiled up at the prince as she slipped her mutilated foot snugly into the blood-soaked slipper. The prince recoiled in horror. Suddenly the door to the kitchens burst open, and Cinderella ran out into the hall. Two tiny songbirds followed her out. They began to swoop around the high rafters, twittering madly. As one, they dove towards the hideous stepsisters and, with razor-sharp beaks and claws, tore out their eyes. The blinded girls howled and shrieked in pain as blood poured from their ruined eye sockets. They staggered around, groping wildly for the prince and calling out his name. The prince stepped back, drew his sword, and, with two fluid strokes, chopped the stepsisters' grotesque heads from their bodies. As the headless corpses slumped to the ground, spouting crimson jets of gore across the carpet, Cinderella ran to the prince. She grabbed the slipper and pulled it on. It fit her dainty foot perfectly. The prince swept her up in his arms, and they lived happily ever after. Fairy tales, folk stories, fables, ancient legends passed down from generation to generation. Cinderella, Snow White, Pinocchio, The Little Mermaid. We are all familiar with these famous tales, from reading them as children and watching them brought to life in wondrous, animated Technicolor. But the versions we grew up with have been sanitized, Disneyfied, polished up and sprinkled with glitter to appeal to a modern audience obsessed with happy endings. The original versions of these fairy stories are far more gruesome, bloody, and disturbing affairs, designed to be proper cautionary tales, rather than the colorful, comforting narratives we get today. As you heard, the true Cinderella story is a little more blood-soaked than the Disney take on it. The gruesome tale at the beginning of this episode was a mix of the darkest moments from Cinderella stories throughout the centuries, some dating back almost 1,500 years. It is odd indeed to learn that Cinderella was once a cold-blooded killer who brutally bludgeoned her stepmother, wicked as she was, to death with the lid of a wooden chest. And she is not the only Disney princess to have come from disturbing origins. The contemporary version of Snow White contains some unsettling elements, there is no doubt about that. The Wicked Queen sends her huntsmen to butcher poor Snow White and bring back her heart in a box as proof. Snow White falls into an eternal sleep after just one bite of a poisoned apple. However, the older versions of the tale are creepier still. Here, the queen commands her huntsmen to bring back Snow White's lungs and liver so that she might cook and eat them with salt. To make these cannibalistic cravings even more gruesome, in this version, the evil queen is actually Snow White's own mother. When the handsome prince discovers Snow White's lifeless body, he does not awaken her with a kiss. No. Instead, he just loads her glass coffin onto a cart and drags it home with his horse. It is only through coincidence and the jostling of the journey that the piece of poisoned apple is dislodged from her throat and she wakes up. What the prince was planning to do with the unconscious girl should be left to your imagination. And to round off this delightful tale, after she marries the dashing prince, Snow White sets out to get revenge on her murderous mother. She places a pair of iron shoes in the fire until they are glowing red hot, then forces her mother's feet into them. The evil queen leaps from foot to foot in the sizzling shoes as her skin bubbles and the smell of cooked human flesh fills the air, until she literally dances herself to death. A happy ending for all involved. In the original story of Sleeping Beauty, the innocent princess does fall into an unbreakable slumber after pricking her finger, and she is sealed away in a tower, just like the contemporary tale. However, that is where the similarities stop. When a noble king scales the tower and finds the princess inside, rather than rescuing her, he chooses to impregnate her while she remains in a magical state of sleep, then leaves her to her fate. Sleeping Beauty later gives birth to twins, all whilst still asleep, locked alone in her tower. She only awakes when one of the infants, in search of milk, sucks the splinter from her finger and breaks the curse. Seemingly unfazed by awakening to find herself a mother, Sleeping Beauty heads to the castle of this less-than-heroic king. He is overjoyed to find her awake and bearing heirs, though his queen is understandably annoyed. She plots to have the babies murdered and baked into a pie to be later served to the king as punishment for his infidelities, However, she is betrayed by the castle cook, who reveals the evil scheming to the king. The queen is promptly arrested and burnt alive at the stake. The king and Sleeping Beauty are married and, of course, live happily ever after. However, the princess story, which has perhaps strayed furthest from its grisly origins, is that of the Little Mermaid. You may be familiar with the popular Disney version, where the bright and bubbly heroine Ariel sacrifices everything from her previous life under the sea to live happily ever after on land with a handsome prince. In the original Grimm Brothers tale, things are not quite so rosy. Here the Little Mermaid is named Sirenetta, and her story is a disturbingly tragic one. Sirenetta staggered across the deck of the ship as it lurched through breaking waves. Foamy spray, tossed high by the fierce seas, rained down on her in icy sheets, but she did not feel the cold. The terrible pain in her legs blotted out almost all other sensations. It was exactly as the sea witch had said it would be, each step like walking on broken glass, a sharp knife ripping through the bottom of her feet. She had thought the pain when she was first transformed from mermaid to human had been awful enough, like being slowly cut in half with a sword. But it had been nothing compared to the daggers of agony that tore at her flesh now. Another thunderous wave rocked the ship, causing Sirenetta to stumble against the guardrail. She screamed out in pain, but had no voice. Her mouth just opened in a silent, agonized shriek. She steadied herself and tottered onwards across the heaving deck. A small, wickedly sharp knife was clutched in one hand, the same knife the sea witch had used to cut out Sirenetta's tongue only a few days before. The mermaid glanced towards the horizon. A thin sliver of light was just visible through the dark clouds. Dawn was coming. She was running out of time. Aside from the crippling pain and the stolen tongue, there had been one final horror attached to the sea witch's spell. If Sirenetta failed to make the prince fall in love with her, if he married someone else, then the price was death. Sirenetta had done her best. She had danced for the prince, as elegant as a young swan, flowing across the ballroom like oil on water, even though every step caused tears of agony to run down her cheeks. He had seemed not to notice. Her beauty and grace and devotion had not been enough. And now here he was aboard this ship with another woman, destined for a distant land and marriage. The only way for Sirenetta to save herself was to plunge the sea witch's knife deep into the prince's chest, to pierce his heart, then let his warm blood drip onto her feet. That would break the spell, and she could return home, to live once more beneath the waves. Sirenetta found the door to the prince's cabin and slipped inside, silent as sea mist. She could just make out his sleeping form in the gloom, tangled in the bedsheets beside the woman that he had chosen over her. Despite the heaving of the deck beneath them, both snored gently in the darkness. Sirenetta crept forward, biting her lip against the terrible pain in her feet. Blood flowed freely down her chin. She came to the prince's bedside and stared down at his smooth, handsome face. A tide of bitter fury rose up inside her. It was so unfair. She had sacrificed everything for him. Her life, her family, her beautiful voice. The pain she had endured just to stand by his side was unimaginable. And he had passed her over, moved on, chosen someone else. Sirenetta raised the knife high in trembling hands, ready to plunge it down to free herself of this dreadful curse. But she couldn't do it. She was no killer. The knife slipped from her nerveless fingers. She gave the prince one last, lingering look, then fled from the cabin. Tears of pain and rage and sorrow poured down her face. She burst out onto the deck and the first pale pink rays of dawn light washed over her. Without breaking step, Sirenetta ran to the guardrail and hurled herself overboard, headfirst into the terrible fury of the sea. As she plunged downwards, she felt her body begin to dissolve, starting at her feet and traveling upwards, her flesh evaporating like smoke. She was gone before she hit the ocean, transformed into nothing but sea fog that was quickly torn apart and scattered by the howling wind. Perhaps some of these violent, darker takes on such classic tales actually provide a stronger message to the audience than their modern counterparts. This story of the Little Mermaid, for instance, could be a cautionary tale, warning of the dangers of changing everything about who you are just to suit a man. A message that is somewhat lost in the wide-eyed innocence of the Disney-fied, happy ending version. In a similar vein, the lesser-known original story of Pinocchio serves as a warning to young children to be obedient and well-behaved, lest they meet a sticky end as punishment for their sins. In the Italian version of the tale, written by Carlo Collodi in the 1880s, the living wooden puppet boy Pinocchio is best described as an unruly brat. He begins by violently kicking his creator Geppetto before he has even finished carving him. As soon as he learns to walk, Pinocchio runs away from home. When the authorities find him, he implies he ran away to escape abuse, and his poor father Geppetto is hauled away and thrown in jail. Pinocchio returns home, where a 100-year-old talking cricket warns him of the dangers of dishonesty and disobedience. Pinocchio does not care to hear this moral lecturing, so he hurls a hammer at the ancient insect and smashes him to death. Pinocchio then carelessly falls asleep in front of the fire and burns his legs down to blackened stumps. Geppetto was released from prison and kindly fashions some new legs for the ungrateful puppet boy, who promptly leaves on a series of other mischievous adventures. Finally, karma catches up with Pinocchio. He befriends a cat and a fox, despite vehement warnings against doing so from the ghost of the cricket he destroyed earlier. Pinocchio is soon betrayed and is hanged from the branches of a great oak tree, left to slowly strangle to death as punishment for his numerous faults. A cautionary tale, indeed. In contrast, it is the more modern versions of the story of Little Red Riding Hood that act as tales of moral guidance, urging attractive, well-bred young women to be wary of strangers, lest they fall victim to a manipulative wolf. The older, medieval folk tales that Little Red Riding Hood is based on had a far more serious, real-world message to pass on. Keep small children out of the dark and dangerous forests. These tales are from a time when the woods were filled with potentially murderous beasts and bandits, and as such, the consequences of not following this advice are far more gruesome in the original Little Red stories. In some versions, after the wolf has killed the girl's grandmother and disguised himself in her clothes, he lays out a feast of her flesh and organs. When Little Red Riding Hood arrives, they both greedily devour this beastly buffet, washing it down with cups of the grandmother's blood, which the wolf claims is actually delicious wine. He then invites the girl to take a nap with him, to sleep off the meaty meal. Little Red Riding Hood takes off her clothes and hops into bed, where the wolf promptly kills and eats her too. There is no heroic woodsman that bursts through the door to save the day. Just two partly devoured corpses, and one very fat, wicked wolf. There is even a version where the wolf uses the grandmother's intestines as a grisly rope to keep the door latched shut. There are dozens of other gruesome fairy tale origin stories that could be mentioned. From the story where Goldilocks is ripped apart by ferocious bears after breaking into their house and stealing their porridge, to fables of the baby-eating goblin Rumpelstiltskin, who became so enraged at the failure of his evil schemes that he tore himself in two. But these are tales for another time. What do you think? Do you prefer the true, bloody, and brutal versions of these classic stories? Or are you forever a fan of the cute and colorful, sickly, sweet Disney retellings, where true love triumphs over all, and the hero always saves the day? Do the original fables hold valuable life lessons, moral stories to guide us, to make us better people? Or are we all too soft these days? Maybe we would prefer for these tragic tales to be left in the past, where such horrible happenings belong. We would love to hear your own thoughts and ideas about these fearsome fairy tales. If you have enjoyed this episode, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PixelElixir, and subscribe at BitesizedFrights.com so that you never miss any of our terrifying tales. This has been a Pixel Elixir production, narrated by Chris Kay. Thank you for listening. Until the next bite, my friends.